Today's shiur is Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Kol Oymed Liftos Kapadi Domi. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Gemara taught us that the Gemara had asked a question. We know that the opinion of Rav Shimon is that a shechita she'ena ruya lo shma shechita, that a shechita that doesn't make the animal permitted to be eaten is not considered a shechita, that a ganef who steals a shor v'seh that makes that type of shechita will not be chayiv dal v'hei. So the Gemara asked the question, if so, our Mishnah, which had discussed if somebody shechted an animal that was hegdish, when is there an obligation to pay dal v'hei, ask the Gemara, shechting such an animal by definition is a shechita she'ena ruya. So the Gemara gave a number of answers. One answer was that the animal was geshechten in the azara, but the avoida wasn't completed, and the Gemara brought up a question, and the Gemara came up with the concept of kol ayim lizer kazaruk dami, an answer to that question. Rish Lakish's answer to that original question was that the Mishnah is discussing an animal which is kachim, but the animal is a balmum, and the shechita that our Mishnah is discussing is a shechita not done in the Azara. Obviously, an animal which is a balmum that's kodesh, even if it's kodesh, may not be slaughtered in the Azara. It's invalid as a carbon. Rather, it's referring to an animal that's a balmum and was geshachten outside of the Azara. So the Gemara asked the question, the shechita is not all that we required to make that animal permissible to be eaten. We need to also be poided. And without the pigeon, the shechita really doesn't make that animal permissible, and it shouldn't be considered a shechita haruya. So the Gemara established that according to Rav Shimon, there is a principle of kol ha'omer liftos kapadi domi, something which can be redeemed, even if it wasn't actually yet redeemed, it's considered padui. And the Gemara now seeks to find the source where Rav Shimon indeed learns that concept of kol ha'omer liftos kapadi domi from. Says the Gemara, the kol ha'omer liftos kapadi domi, this concept of anything that is going to be redeemed or is redeemable is considered redeemed, we find in the following concept. The Tanya of Shimon Omer, Para, the Para Aduma, the Tumas Eichlim, is susceptible to Tumas Eichlim, Hoyel V'Hoysel HaShas HaKosher, since at a certain point it is considered an Eichel. What does that mean? Omer Shlokish explains with Shlokish. Omer of Shimon, Rav Shimon holds, Para Niftas Agabi Marachta, that the Para Aduma, even if already was burnt, if we find a better animal, a better Para Aduma, then that original Para could be redeemed, and that animal and that original Para Aduma will no longer be the Para Aduma. Alma, from here we see that Kol Oymed Liftos Kapadi Domi, something that can be redeemed is already considered redeemed. And the way we understand the Gemara is as follows. It goes back to a machloikis that we discussed in the previous year, a machloikis between Chacham and Rav Shimon. The opinion of Chacham is that anything that is a food, anything that has the characteristic of a food, is a food and is matama tumas eichlin. Rav Shimon has a more limited application. Rav Shimon says if there is a food but the food is also bahano, then that food is not going to be metama tumas eichlin. So now we have this para aduma, which we began the process of making into ashes, which ultimately will be mixed with the mayim chayim and be sprinkled on the person who is tamei. And the Mishnah teaches us that even according to Rav Shimon, who, as we said, has this limited definition of Tumas Oichlim, Rav Shimon will hold that the Parah Aduma, since even while we're in the middle of processing it, we would find, if we found a better Parah Aduma, we could redeem the original Parah Aduma, take off its Kedusha, and it will not anymore be a Parah Aduma. So even though we don't go through that process, the potential of being able to go through our process makes the Parah Aduma be considered a food that it should be susceptible to Tumas Eichlim. Why? Because Kol Oimer Liftois Kapadi Domi. And as the Ramban explains, Rav Shimon holds that since it's included in everybody who is designates a Parah as a Parah Aduma, he has in mind that if they'll find a better Parah Aduma, that will be the one that should be used. That's why we could apply the concept of Kol Oimer Liftois Kapadi Domi. Ask them a Farshim. Rabbi Chanan asked this question. In the previous year, we explained the concept of Kol Oimer Lizroik Kazaruk Domi. And we explained why do we have that concept? Because since there is a mitzvah to do Zrikas Hadam, that mitzvah obligation that we have an animal that was already slaughtered and we're about to complete the process and we're supposed to do it properly, do Zrika, that's why there's a concept of Kol Oimer Lizroik Kazaruk Domi. Asks Rabbi Chanan, is there then a mitzvah to be paida the para aduma that we should say Kol Oimer Liftois Kapadi Domi? Says Rabbi Say the Mefarshim, indeed there is. Since, as we explained, when is somebody going to be paid to the para aduma? If he finds a better para aduma. So we see that there's a mitzvah to do that. And that's why we could apply the concept of the Kol Oimer Liftois Kapadi Domi. In fact, the Chacham Tzvi, taking this principle that we now discussed, uses it La Locha L'maisa. He says that we know that in Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch teaches us that the mitzvah in a mucha, the preferable mitzvah, is to use oil for lighting the menorah. Certainly, you could be making the mitzvah with candles. So, but it's mitzvah in a mucha to use shemen zayis, olive oil. So he discusses a shayla of, let's say somebody's already in the middle of using regular candles, that's all he had. And then he becomes available to him olive oil. Based on our Gemara, says the Chacham Tzvi, he should use the olive oil. Because just like an our Gemara, he's already in the middle of using, a metal processing a Parah Aduma. If you could find a better one, use the better one. Here too, if you could get oil, don't use the oil and not the regular candles. Continues the Paiskim to use this concept of Kol Oimer Liftois Kapadi Domi, Kol Oimer Lizroik Kazaruk Domi, to the Shaila that the Michas Yitzchak discusses. That we know the Aloch is that water that's used for Netilas Yadayim, L'chatchila should be water that doesn't have any Shinui Mara, any discoloration. So he discusses many times, it used to be more common that when one poured water or opened up the faucet and water came out, for the first moment or so the water was cloudy and then it would clear up. And the question he discusses is, can one use the water while it's still cloudy for Netilas Yadayim? So he says, based on our Gemara, that since we see Kol Oimer Liftois Kapadi Domi, something which is eventually going to happen is considered like it's already happened, similarly this water, which will certainly clear up, can already be used for Netilas Yadayim. As we see in the Tosfos Amud Aleph, very, very long Tosfos, the Michas Elazar quotes the Bnei Yisachar, who says that the Bali Tosfos were killed al Kiddush Hashem. They were given an ultimatum, either to convert or to shmad or to be killed, and of course their choice was chas v'shalom not to shmad. And the night before they were going to be killed, this is the night that they wrote this Tosfos. So of course it's a schus to mention what Tosfos discusses. Tosfos asks, we know that the Torah teaches us that Parah Aduma is a very high level of Tumah. We know that the Torah says that the Parah Aduma is Metame Tahirim, it makes those people who are Tahor Tameh, and it's Metar Tameim, those people that are Tameh become Tahor. Somebody who works with the Parah Aduma becomes Tameh. So ask Tosfos, what is the point of our Gemara to teach us that Parah Aduma becomes Metame with Tumas Oichlam? Parah Aduma, as we just said, has this very high level of Tumah already anyway. So what's the difference that it is or isn't Mekam Tameh with a Tumas Oichlam? So Tosfos mentions a number of terutzim. One terutz, Tosfos says, is that there's a very important din learned here. Let's say we have this Parah Aduma that we're Miller processing, and it becomes Tameh with a Tumas Oichlam. If we said it wasn't susceptible to Tumas Oichlam, then the Parah Aduma would not become disqualified, and it could be continued to be used for the Parah Aduma purposes. Now that our Gemara is teaching us that it is susceptible to Tumas Oichlam, so if it comes Tameh that way, it will become Tameh and cannot be used as a Parah Aduma. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that the Parah Aduma, that it's Metameh, the Tahirim, it's Metameh those individuals who work with it, it's only Metameh those individuals as who are actually involved with working with it. The Kohen, who's involved in working with the Parah Aduma. However, anyone else who's not actually involved with the Parah Aduma, just because he touches the Parah Aduma, will not become Tameh. But if it has on it a Tumas Eichlim, there, anyone who touches a Tumas, something that's Tameh or Tumas Eichlim, at certain circumstances will become Tameh. A third teretz that Tosfos suggests is that the halacha is that food only becomes Tameh with a Tumas Eichlim when it has the shear of a kebaya. So let's say we'll have food, a piece of dough, that doesn't have that shear, but we need to combine it with the Parah Aduma. The halacha is that it can be combined to achieve the shear of a kebaya. In fact, this Tosfos, and the Rishonim point out, is different than what Rashi says throughout Shas. Because throughout Shas, we're familiar that there's a machloikus Rashi in Tosfos. Although everyone agrees that food only transmits tumah when it has the shear of a kebaya, there's a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, how much food do you need to have to obtain Tumas Eichlin? And from here we see that even to obtain Tumas Eichlin, you have to have a shear kebaya. In fact, many Rishonim say from here we see that Rashi retracts from his position that he states elsewhere, and here Rashi ultimately agrees with Tosfos that even to receive a Tumas Eichlin, you need a shear kebaya. It's interesting to point out this halacha, that whoever works with the Parah Aduma becomes Tameh, is the basis for a beautiful vart. We know, the Torah says, Zoif Chukas HaTorah, that the Parah Aduma is considered a chayt, a mitzvah without a tam, a mitzvah without a reason. Although we know, the Rashi says, that what is pshat in the Parah Aduma? Tova ima v'tekaneich al b'no. We know that Klai Yisrael sinned with the eagle. The Parah is the mother of the calf of the eagle, and the Parah Aduma is mechaper on the aveira of the eagle. If so, asked the Mefarshim, why does the Kamara, why does the Torah keep on calling the Parah Aduma chayk, a mitzvah without reason? It very much has a reason. Ramosha Hadarshin's reason. Answer the Mefarshim. The basic concept of Parah Aduma has a reason, Ramosha Darshan's reason. What is the difficulty, what is the choik of the Parah Aduma, is the din that it's Metamet Tahirim and Metar Tameim, a very difficult concept to understand. Tells us the Torah, we have this difficult concept to understand about the Parah Aduma. why it's metame tahirim metar tamayim. What is the lesson? How did Klal Yisrael come to do this terrible aver of the eagle? Because they made calculations. They started to think and try to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu was already supposed to arrive, and where is Moshe Rabbeinu? And that's how they came to do the avera of the eagle. The lesson of the Parah Aduma is that this same Parah that's metahar the Tameim is metamet the Tahirim, and it's hard to understand. But the lesson of the Parah Aduma is we are not supposed to ask questions. We're supposed to accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, what the Emunah B'Tochen require of us. So, as we said at the beginning of this year, we had a question on our Mishnah that isn't the Shechita of Kachim a Shechita She'ein Aruya, and therefore why should there be a Chiyuv of Dalad V'Hei? And there were two answers given. There was the answer that Rabbi Yochanan suggested, that the actual carbon was actually brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but either wasn't brought L'Shem Balam, it wasn't brought for the purpose that the owner should have a kapara, or Rish Lakish's Teretz, that's referring to Kachim that are Balei Mumin and were slaughtered outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Lamek Rish Lakish. The Rabbi Yochanan didn't suggest Rish Lakish's answer. The Kabbai Lokal Masnis Nafil B'Tamimim. He didn't want to explain that our Mishnah is referring to Balei Mum. Ela Rish Lakish asked the Gemara, "My Tam Alayamak Rabbi Yochanan. Why doesn't Rish Lakish agree to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation that it is indeed a carbon that's a Tamim, but it was slaughtered Shloi L'Shem Balem?" Of course, the Mefarshim say that the Gemara can immediately suggest that the Rish Lakish didn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan's answer because he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Kol Omer Lizroik Kezorok Dami, which we explained in the previous year, is a fundamental basic in understanding Rabbi Yochanan's Teretz. But the Gemara gives a different answer. Amalach, the Torah says, V'tafchai u'machroi, to teach us, Kol Heichad Isam Mechira, where is there a chiyuv of dal v'hei for tvicha mechira? Where mechira is possible, there too, isa v'tvicha, there is also a possibility for shechita. However, kol eichad the less of mechira, any situation where there would not be ability or possibility for mechira to take place, there, less of tvicha, there would be no possibility for shechita either. V'hani kotshim, hoyal d'chimaz min kotshim lo'yav mechira, it's impossible to sell an animal which is Kaidish. Because even if you attempt to sell it, wherever it still is Kaidish. So therefore, lesna b'tficha, the dinam of Shechita, even if you will attempt to do a Shechita, like Rabbi Yochanan attempts to explain, shachtim shloi l'shem balim, you will not have a chiv of dal v'hei. If there's no chiv of dal v'hei for mechira, there cannot be a chiv of dal v'hei for tficha either. Vazel Tamayu, and actually this is an old machloikus, says the Gemara, of Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Ditmer, Hamoicha Tereifel Diver Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's opinion is that if somebody does shechita on an animal, on a sharvah said that he stole, that's treif, since it's a shechita she'en aruya, the shechita is not a shechita, what would be regarding the mechira of such an animal? Rabbi Yochanan Mechayif, it has no effect on the dinner of the mechira. Rish Lakish Amish Potter. Rish Lakish Amish Chayiv. I've got the lace of a tvicha, even though tvicha is impossible because it's a shechita shein aruya. Isa of a mechira. That doesn't affect that it's subject to the dinim of mechira. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, holds Potter. Kiv the lace of a tvicha. Since the din of tvicha is not possible because it's a shechita shein aruya, therefore, lace of a mechira, the din of mechira doesn't apply either. Ask Tosfos that according to Rish Lakish's opinion, how could you be chayiv for shechting and for selling on Shabbos a sharvah said dal v'hei? Since on Shabbos there is no chayiv for tvicha, because on Shabbos we know that there's kimle v'derabimenei, there should be also exempt from mechira on Shabbos. Tosfos doesn't answer the question. Ber and Peretz have explained, as we have learned, and we actually will learn this halacha again, that an animal that's slaughtered on Shabbos through a shliach, then the ganef will be chayiv the dalad vehei, and he's not chayiv the misa because he didn't do the actual shchita. So that's why it's possible to have mechira on Shabbos. It's possible to have tvicha on Shabbos. It's the question that the achrayim ask is that this teretz is an obvious answer, and why doesn't Tosfos give this answer himself? Says the Darkei David, he quotes the opinion of the Mishnah Lamelech, which we quoted on Daf Ayin Dalet, who says that even though we're saying that a shliach shechs the animal on behalf of the ganef is chay of the dal v'hei, that's only if the ganef did not give the shliach specific instructions to shech the animal on Shabbos. However, if he expressly told him to shech the animal on Shabbos, then he would not be chayiv for the shliach shchita, and he would not be chayiv dal vehei, because we would apply the concept of ein shliach ledvar veira. And that's what Tosfos is saying, that Shabbos should be considered leisa b'tficha, since a ganef who slaughters a shor on Shabbos or tells a shliach to do so on Shabbos on his behalf is not going to be subject to dal vehei. Ask the Gemara, Eisei Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish. The Braisa says, Ganav klayim v'tofchon. If somebody steals an animal which is a klayim and he shechts it, or treifol machra, the halacha is mishalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Suggest the Gemara, my love, this Braisa seems to be following Rav Shimoni, the opinion of Rav Shimon, because the fact that the Braisa says that you only chayiv for the mechira of a treifa, but not for the shchita of a treifa, it seems to be following the opinion of Rav Shimon, who says that you never chayiv for the shchita of a treifa, because the shchita she'en aruya. But if you're not chayiv for the shchita, it would follow Rish Lakish's opinion, why you chayiv for the tficha? Why you chayiv for the mechira? It must be that we see from here, Alma, Alpha gav the lace of a tficha, even though a halacha of tficha doesn't apply, still, the halacha mechira could apply, and they don't necessarily travel together. Amalei loy. This braisa reflects the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon hold that there is no issue of a shechita shein aruya. Ask the Gemara, if the braisa is following the opinion of the Rabbanon, treifa mechira isa b'tzvicha leisa, so why when we speak about a treifa, do we only speak about the mechira of a treifa? According to the Rabbanon, even the tvicha, even the shchita of a treifa is mechayiv dal vehei elamai. So that's why you're going to say we must say that Braisa follows the opinion of Shimon. So then we still have a question: klayim betvicha isa mechira leisa. The Braisa speaks about klayim, but klayim, there's no difference between the tvicha and mechira. So why, when the Braisa speaks about klayim, does the Braisa only speak about the tficha of the klayim, not the mechira of the klayim? Ella, what must we say? Tana tficha. We speak about the tficha of a klayim, but who would din l'rab mechira? But that doesn't mean to exclude that the same din would be if you sold the klayim. So the Rabbanan Nami, I will continue to say that the Braisa is going according to Rabbanan, tana mechira. It speaks about the mechira of a treifa, but actually the same din would apply v'udin l'tficha by the shchit of a treifa, because according to Rabbanon, there is no p'tur of a shchit to shein aruya. Rav Yochanan says, your explanation of the braisa following the opinion of the Rabbanon, says Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish, is a difficult explanation. Because I am b'shlam Rav Shimon, if you'll say that the Braisa follows the opinion of Rav Shimon, so now we could understand the Braisa. I did Tana Treifa b'Hachada, since by Treifa we only spoke about one case, Mechira, because according to Rav Shimon, Tvicha by Treifa is not possible because it's a Shechita Shein Aruya. That's why B'Klayim, the Braisa also spoke only about B'Chada, one example, the example of Tvicha. even though Mechira would apply. Eli, I'm Rabbanon, if we're going to say that the Brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbanon, and both by Klayim, and both by Trefa, Tficha and Mechira are always passable, so why did the Brisa separate the halachas of Trefa and Klayim? The Brisa ought to have Ne'erva v'Nesninu, put them all in one din. Konav, Klayim or Trefa, if the animal that was stolen was a Klayim or Trefa, and whether Tvachvchon or Machron, you did Tvicha Mechira, the halacha always is the Misham Tashlumi Abba Chamisha. The fact that the Brisa separated Trefa from Klayim is a clear indication that they have different dinim, which only would be understandable according to the opinion of Rav Shimon. And indeed, this is a kasha on the opinion of Reish Lakish. Ask the Gemara. We're obviously holding, this Brisa obviously is holding, that animal which is Klayim is subject to the dinim of Dalet Vehei. Ask the Gemara, but Seksav, the Torah, when it speaks about Tvicha Mechira, uses the word Seh. Kignav is shar shar sa tvacha mechari chamisha baki sham tachas shar v'abet sain tachas aser v'amar Rava, and we have a rule that Rava taught us that zeh bnei av that kol makom shnem aser wherever the Torah uses the word aser en ela hoitzi a klaim, it's coming to exclude that klaim are not included. What Rav is referring to, what Pasuk Rav is referring to, that the Torah uses the word Seh, and from there we see that it's coming to include anything else, is actually the subject of Machlokes Rishayim. Rashi says, it refers to the Pasuk of Zoyis HaBehem HaShetoichlu, Shor Seh Sovim V'Seh Izim, and the fact that the Torah repeats the word Seh, says Rav is to teach us that wherever the Torah uses the word seh means a seh, and to exclude klayim. Tosfos says the pasuk that Rav is referring to is the pasuk by Karban Pesach that says seh socher ben shana yulachem min hakvasim u'min ha'izim tikachu. Now the Torah is teaching us that you have to use kvasim u'izim. Now we know that that is already the halacha by Korban Pesach. So why does the Torah repeat it? To teach us that whatever the word seh is used, it means specifically a seh, nothing else, not klayim. So the Gemara's question is, how could the Braisa be discussing if you chayiv dalad vehei when you shechted or sold a klayim that you stole? There should be no chayiv at all by klayim. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hacha, Damakra, Oi. The rabbis is a claim. The Torah says, Kignav is Shor Aiseh, or Tvachai or Mecharai. That Oi, the first Oi, is coming to include Klayim. Ask the Gemara, V'chol Oi, the rabbisu, does the Torah, when it uses the word Oi, mean to include Klayim? For Tanya, the Pasuk says, Shorai kesav ayez ki yivaleid v'hoi shivas yamim takas imoi u'biyoy mashmini v'holo yirotz l'karman ish l'Hashem. The Torah is teaching us that an animal in its first 7 days may not be brought as a carbon, only after the 8th day. And there the Torah says oi, and the Brisa teaches us the first oi comes to teach us pratl klayim, that animal that's klayim cannot be used as a carbon, oi ayez. And the second ois, Shor oi chesav oi eiz, is coming to teach us pratla nidma, that even if we have an animal that was brought, that was born to two parents that are the same, but it doesn't look like that. In other words, an animal was born from two sheep, but it looks like a goat, that it also cannot be used as a carbon. So how do we understand? Does oi come to include klayim, as it seems that's what the Gemara is saying, that the oi by tficha mechira does? Or does oi come to exclude klayim, as that's what it seems is the case from the pasuk of Shara Chesav Ayes? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hach Minyana Dekra, Vach Minyana Dekra. We always have to look at the context of the pasuk. Hach Gabaneva, the Ksiv Shara Yisrael. The Torah uses the word Shara Yisrael. She ati yochel lahitzi klayim b'mneyem. A Shara and a Seh cannot mate together to produce an animal. Could the gestation period for these two animals is different? A seh is pregnant for 5 months, a shor is pregnant for 9 months. So it's obvious, shor, if the Torah just used the words shor or seh, it doesn't refer to the product of a shor v'seh. There is no product of a shor v'seh. So then oi, the word oi is superfluous, and it comes to Rabbis' client. Gavi kachim, however, by kachim, the Torah uses the words kesev eis. The Torah uses the words kesev eis, and shati yochalot l'klai v'neim, a kesev and eis, a lamb and a goat, can mate together to produce a child. So there, oi is lamatu, is coming to mimat that klayim cannot be used as a carbon. Ask the Gemara, v'gabe kotshim namishore kesev. As we read, the pasuk by kotshim says, shor oi kesev oyeis. So indeed, when the pasuk uses the words kesev ayez, those are two animals that can mate together to produce klayim. But shor and kesev cannot mate together to produce klayim. So why don't we explain that pasuk the same way it was explained the pasuk by genev by tficha mechira, and say that the oy is coming to be marba, that klayim can be used as a carbon? Answers the Gemara, mid the seifa lamad. Since the seifa, the second words, the words of kesev ayez, are coming to be mad, reish nami lamad. So we say that the reish is also coming to be mad. Ask the Gemara, adarabba, why don't we just say the opposite? Why don't we say mid the reish larabbas? Why don't we say that shor ay kesev is coming to be marba? And then I'll say that seifa nami is coming to be marba. Answers the Gemara, hi mai. If we say that the two eyes are coming to be mamat, we could understand the pasuk. But if we say that the two eyes are coming to be marba, it'll be difficult to understand. Because e'amrit b'shlomo lamat, if we'll say that the point of the pasuk is to exclude who the istrich trei miyuti, we could understand why we need two miyutim. The first miyut is coming to be mamat klayim, but we'll say the afagav dimat klayim, even though klayim are excluded and cannot be used as a carbon, it's strictly mutei nidma. We still have to have a separate pasuk to mimat a nidma. A nidma is much less of an iser than klayim. So just because klayim are excluded, that doesn't mean that a nidma is excluded. Eli amit l'rabbis, if we're going to say that the first oy is coming to be marba, and we'll say that even klayim can be brought as a carbon, then trei ribui lomeli, why would I need two ribuyim? Hash the klayim irbelei, if klayim, which as the Chazanish explains, represents an animal that comes from two totally different species, and still such an animal can be used as a carbon, nidba, which comes from one species, meboyi, that it can be used as a carbon. So the only way to understand the psukim is that the psukim are teaching us that klayim cannot be used and that nidma cannot be used. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, the psukim have to be understood specifically in this order. Because again, if we were to be mamat nidma first, we'll say if a nidma, that there's nothing really, that comes from one species, again using the Chazanish, is possible, then certainly klayim, which comes from two species, is possible. So the only way to understand the psukim is to say that the first oy is mamat klayim, and the second oy is not only mamat klayim, but it's even mamat a nidma. Of course, also explained the Rishonim, that if we only had one miyut, we would say that one miyut is coming to exclude a nidba, because I would say, and then certainly klayim are excluded. If I only had one miyut, I would say that the miyut is only being mamat, it's only excluding klayim, but an animal that's nidma may be kosher for carbon. only because I have two eyes that we're using, and we're using both eyes to be mamat, and we're using them in this specific order, first being mamat klayim and then being mamat nidba, do we have an understanding how the psukim work? It's also interesting to note that we know there's a question, an old question, that Al-Sheikh already is the first to discuss this question. If a fruit, if an esrig is a murkif, it was grafted together from two different species, may such a esrig be used? And the Al-Sheikh and the Paiskim all discuss different reasons why it can't be used. And one of the suggestions that the Levush gives why it can't be used is because it was Nevda Ba'aveira. Since this fruit was made through an Aveira, doing Klayim is an Aveira, and that's why the Torah teaches us that we can't use, that's why obviously an Esrik, that an Aveira was done to create this Esrik, cannot be used. The Taz, however, says, from our Gemara we see that the Levush is incorrect. Because if the fact, if there is indeed such a concept of Nidbe Aveira, then of Nasaba Aveira, and that's why it should not be used, so says the Taz, if so, how come our Gemara has to bring Psukim to prove that Klayim cannot be used as a carbon? Certainly, Nevdaba Aveira, this animal was created through an Aveira, and therefore it certainly should not be able to be used as a carbon. The fact that the Torah had to say a special miut to exclude Klayim is clearly indication that Klayim cannot, that Nevdaba Aveira is not the reason why Esrig cannot be used when it's a Merkav. What is the reason? As the Al-Sheikh explains, we know that an Esrig achoser, if the Esrig isn't complete, it's not a kosher Esrig. And an esrig that's a graft with another fruit is not completely an esrig, and that's why such an esrig may not be used. It is interesting, however, to note that Ramosha says that even though, as we're learning now, that klayim, you're allowed to eat a fruit that's klayim, we eat a nectarine, which is a graft of a peach and a plum, still, we know that when we eat a fruit the first time in a season, we make a shechianu. Says Ramosh, because of this concept that the Levush just taught us of Nevda Ba'aveira, it's inappropriate to make a shechianu on a fruit shenevda ba'aveira. And even though we make a bracha when we eat such a fruit, don't make a shechianu.